Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This issue is Volume 3, Birds of a Feather. Issue 1, Devilis in the Details. On the cover, Frequency, Puck, and Sokotoa stand in the palm of a massive red-skinned hand with horrible black claws. Sokotoa throws an orb, bouncing it off one of the talons. Puck is single-handedly stopping the thumb from crushing them, while Frequency is fiddling with a radio that declares, "Tune in now for a chance to witness hellish fights and the rise of a fallen hero."
The comic starts out with a splash page showing the Bayside Boardwalk. And there, it's kind of from a top-down isometric sort of view where we've got some seagulls going by and we've got just a great vista of the city, and we have our three heroes standing near kind of the bottom of the page with buckets and mops, and they're taking some graffiti off of the wall. There's an additional little panel that says elsewhere, and we see just a bicep just curling upward, and you can see that it has like an incredible amount of strength behind it. But we go initially to our heroes. Let's go ahead and get just a description of how each of you are looking as you are here doing your mandated community service.
And we'd be doing these as heroes, right?
You can tell me that.
Because we were mandated this as part of our massive screw up.
Yeah, so probably yes, so as heroes.
As heroes.
Sokotoa does not have a secondary costume, and since the identity is really important here, he's in his entire garb, ridiculousness and all.
Excellent.
He's a ridiculous sight on the beach.
And that's like a bright blue bodysuit.
Yeah, so it's like a one piece kind of thing.
Okay.
And it has a whole bunch of math and science symbols all over it.
Perfect.
Like Sokotoa, Puck doesn't have another costume. So yeah. He's in a dark black full length hoodie and like black jeans.
Perfect.
And black boots. And he has the plague doctor mask and the big white antlers. and he has he has a big like broom and a bucket of like soapy water, and he's just cleaning and scrubbing the boardwalk trying to get the salt off.
Frequency is wearing just blue jeans and like a blue sweatshirt hoodie with the hood pulled up covering his face.
Mm-hmm.
Considering Ben doesn't really have an alter ego or a costume or anything like that. But he just has the hood pulled up over his head. His headphones are on. The cord's just dangling out front. It's not actually...
Because he doesn't need anything.
It's not actually plugged into anything. Every so often, the end falls out, and he just stuffs it back into his coat.
Excellent. Sitting nearby, there is your kind of supervisor for this, the person who's overseeing your community service.
Are they a super supervisor?
They're a little, they're a mutant, definitely.
Okay.
She's kind of lizard looking, and definitely very much the mutated mutant look. She's wearing kind of normal clothes, just a white blouse and some jeans, and she's got an ID pad an ID badge that says, you know, who she is, but she's kind of unimportant right now. But she's there listening to some talk radio that's going on. And so we have just a little bit of written text from the talk radio. And there's a little narration thing also that identifies that it is the Jack Chance Radio Hour. And so that we've got the text that just says, These supposed heroes coming in here, wearing their masks, hiding behind fake names. If you want to be a real public servant, if you want to actually be making a difference for this city, you ought to take off the mask and just look at someone straight in their face. And so that's why I am challenging once again to everyone out there, all the chance seekers, all my listeners, if you have information leading to the identity of Centurion, get in touch with me. Proof of Centurion's identity will get you $50,000. I've got the check written. It's right up there. And so now we're just going to, now it zooms from that panel closer to you. And like there, the text is still sort of there. She's still listening to the radio, but it's kind of brought down. It's less in focus.
It's probably going over the different panels. Like
yeah, exactly. It's living like a little bit in the grid between, yeah. But it's not the focus. It had that one panel.
Okay. I feel Frequency definitely just actually cuts it off.
Yeah. Okay. And so she,
like, she's listening to the radio and I'm just getting just Frequency is just getting pissed off listening to that.
Yeah.
And so he just sort of hijacks that. Wheel yeah. And just, it's just static.
She turns and looks at you and goes, "Hey, no powers." And she's messing with the radio a little bit because, you know, she doesn't know you've got it fully shut down. But she knows what you're about in a general sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How much can she notice? Is she like observant?
I don't know. What are you trying to do?
Because I could easily throw something and break the radio, oh, and that would also end the problem.
She's got it like on her lap at this point. She's kind of like,
hit it.
That's true. I mean, you certainly can.
I don't know. I'd have to throw garbage at her though, and I feel like that probably wouldn't end very well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, Frequency definitely turns over to Sokotone. It's like, just let it go. Just let it go.
So we get that little exchange, and then we get another just little panel on the side that shows someone pulling herself up on a pull-up bar. And it just has just like the thump, 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 thump of her heart written out. And it kind of is just showing that it's this very even, but that she's hitting this bar without any trouble. And you can see there's actually just like weights tied to her feet. And we're back to our heroes.
This sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not used to doing stuff like this. I'm not into the whole manual labor kind of thing.
Yeah, me either. And then there's a panel from earlier of a couple of the little of Puck's little fairy things, it's like two to a sponge, and they are trying to clean. And then the hero guardian person shouting at Puck,
no
and
being like, powers.
Yeah, he's off eating French fries somewhere. And it cuts back to us.
Yeah. So we're getting like just shots of you cleaning up the wall, and on the wall is written just tons and tons and tons of graffiti. A lot of it is taking shots at Falcon. A lot of it is taking shots at mutants. It's kind of just where the vitriol of society has all been posted. There's a couple of like, you know, this person was here, hearts this, all that.
Yeah. This person has a point. They probably were here when they wrote this.
Mm.
Maybe we should leave this up.
I mean, it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
We get one more shot that's of this other image. And it's just someone bent. It's just the same girl bench pressing. And this time when she pushes it up, you can see that she's wearing a Falcon t-shirt. And on the arm, like, because on the arm is the Falcon symbol. And just the amount that she has just bench pressed is just absurdly high. It's just like, you know, racks on racks of stuff. And then her cell phone rings and she picks it up and goes, "Hello?" And a voice comes through going, "All right, it's time. Let's move." And we go back to the three of you.
Frequency, there's a panel where Frequency is just finished cleaning off a wall. And he looks over his shoulder and our supervisor is looking another direction or something. Just pulls out a marker. Frequency rules with a Z.
Perfect. And so in the background of that shot, there, like, so we see Frequency writing it. And then in the background of that, there is just suddenly a fiery explosion and glass bursting out over the bay.
Uh-oh.
What do you do?
Puck is going to get up on top of whatever building he's closest to.
Okay.
because he has like mild amounts of super strength, so he's just like gonna jump up onto some stuff and try to look out over and get use his height advantage to see what's going on.
Okay, go ahead and give me a roll to assess the situation.
Okay. That's a...
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, plus, what is that plus?
Superior.
Oh, minus one.
Okay. still good enough.
Yeah, eight.
All right, so that means you get to ask one question from that list, and you'll get a plus one while you are acting on the answers. The fire just kind of explodes out of this building, and... there's some shouting and screams from within. And then you see two enormous claws grip onto the side of the building. And a dark red-skinned creature comes crawling out of it. It's probably 10, 12 feet tall. And it's also a very recognizable villain. This is Dr. DeVillis.
I want to know what here is in the greatest danger.
Right now, the thing that is in the most danger is the people that are on the floors above that in this building, because that fire is going to start to spread, no question. Like, it's licking up the sides of the building almost immediately.
Okay.
What do you do?
So what was the character's name, the bad guy?
Dr. DeVillis.
Dr. DeVillis. Puck's gonna call down. Guys, it's Dr. DeVillis again!
Perfect. Amazing.
I mean, this time we can help, though. Probably.
I'm open to suggestions, because I can't get up there, and I can't help people down.
Well, it's down the boardwalk a little bit, right?
Yeah.
We need to get water on that fire. Those people are in danger.
Okay, how high up is... What floor are we on here?
Let's say he's on the sixth floor, and he's crawling out of the window, and just like clinging on to the side of this stone building, his claws dug into it. And he's looking out over the bay and going,
I will destroy all of you. Uh-oh.
And Puck is going to just start sprinting across rooftops.
Okay.
Towards that building. I think you guys got it. Just catch up.
All right, Kalino, here we go again.
So I have an orb that I can fill with water and it'll explode.
Okay, cool.
But I can't throw six stories up. So okay. If I can get onto an adjacent building.
Okay.
Like, even if it was like three stories or maybe two.
Yeah.
I might be able to just have this thing explode, and then that would at least douse some of the fire.
Yeah. I mean, you're working on the side of a building that is it's a lower building, let's say. That's something that you could get on top of. With some climbing.
Oh, I have a question.
Yeah.
Did we establish last time that we have some kind of a communication system?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know you would hack our phones into stuff.
Yes. It's through frequency.
Okay. Frequency, like, wrote an app that everyone's phone runs.
Right. Okay, cool.
That communicates. And basically he can control his, and it then controls all the others.
So if frequency goes down, your communications probably go down.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
At that point, also your supervisor has her phone out and is like, you know, clearly calling in some help.
I was going to say, I'm just picturing us running down the boardwalk, just dropping the mops.
Probably. Oh,
yeah. And is that allowed? I'm waiting for us to be
get
back here.
She's much more focused right now on making sure that help arrives quickly.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to point out, I really like how, again, we are just rushing right in, even though we are here doing community service.
Because we explicitly just
dropped everything and just jumped right in. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. So Frequency, what are you doing?
I'm worried about the people. Frequency's worried about the people that are in that building.
Yeah.
So I'm running down and I'm trying to use my powers to access like security cameras or loudspeakers or anything so that I can see people and try and guide them to safety, get them to a stairwell, get them somewhere safe so that they get out.
Cool. I think we are already coming up against a threat as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Just immediately right off
the
bat.
Excellent.
Yes.
So the way it works is we start at one team. Just because you are going into this, you get an automatic plus two. So we're up at three. And now I'm going to ask, who is the current leader in this fight?
It might be Puck.
I think Puck is definitely the closest
to
it.
Puck was not intending to lead, but he is the one charging first towards combat.
He's the one who has super speed.
Yeah.
Puck is furthest ahead.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, cool. Do you have influence over every teammate?
No.
Okay.
I have influence over Kalino.
Does everyone have the same purpose in the fight? So, Puck, what is your purpose in this fight?
I think my purpose is to stop the villain.
Okay. To stop Dr. DeVillis. Yeah. Is that the same purpose that you both have?
I think I'm more interested in making sure the people are okay.
Okay. Cool.
Does that count? Because yeah, we're sort of like, Puck's purpose is to stop Dr. DeVillis in whatever they're trying to do and prevent them from harming people. But it's not like his primary goal isn't necessarily to save people.
So yeah. So basically that the idea is, where are you putting the majority of your energy? So if the majority of your energy is going towards making sure everyone is safe, then that's different from the majority of your energy going towards knocking out Dr. DeVillis. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. My thought was that the best way to protect the people would be to take out the bad guy.
Yeah. But it sounds like you're thinking more getting the guys out, getting the people out first.
I think we're probably...
So yeah, I think you are at cross purpose. Not at like major cross purposes.
But we're not totally in sync.
Exactly. Correct. Which is what that question is asking.
Yeah.
Do either of you mistrust the leader or the team?
No.
No.
Perfect. No. Are you ill-prepared or off-balance?
We're not off-balance.
No.
I don't know that you're necessarily ill-prepared, though.
I wouldn't say we're prepared.
Yeah, we're definitely not prepared. But yeah.
But we're also not ill-prepared.
You're in costume.
Yeah.
You've got a little bit of space to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a possibility you're good on that.
Yeah.
So we're sitting at three team, then.
Okay, cool.
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 All right, so...
All right, I like that.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Okay, so first thing I want to do is contact Puck and ask him if he can send some of his creatures to get me higher.
Okay.
Whether it's on a roof or clinging to a side of a building, whatever.
Or they can shuttle the water ball things up, too.
Oh, that's true.
They could, like, fire brigade it.
Kamikaze it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, reverse kamikaze, I guess.
I mean, whichever you want. They can help you climb up or vice versa.
I can probably help more people if we have like a relay team up there, if they can blow up easily.
Okay. So Puck will, is our communication system just literally, I have a cell phone and I have to talk into it?
Well, so we're in the days of Bluetooth and speaker phones and everything like that. So I feel you don't need to have hand up to your phone talking.
Do you all need to wear headphones?
I wasn't.
Planning. Or no.
Where
are you going with this?
I'm just going that it automatically just sets it to like speakerphone. So
okay.
You'll be yelling at each other and it sounds like the person is yelling into their phone from a few feet away, but we're teenagers. Our phones are always on us.
Yeah.
And it just automatically goes into speakerphone mode.
Yeah.
So we don't,
perfect.
We don't need equipment.
Okay.
Nice. I like it.
But you do need to have your phone.
Yeah.
If you lose your phone or it breaks,
then that's a problem.
You're out of luck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Puck, can you help me get these bomb orbs, like water bombs, up to the building?
And Puck, who is sprinting towards the building that's on fire, he kind of just like dead stops for a second and looks down the side of the building and looks back at Sokotoa and goes, I will leave some fairies. They will help they will cling to the side of the building and you can climb up them. Does that work?
That's perfect.
Excellent. And then he sprints off again.
Perfect. Yeah. And each of the sprinting panels, we get like a head on view. And then it just like is a very abrupt stop with him almost seeming to like stop too close to the panel. It's kind of like awkward
and so then the
way janky with that.
Yeah. So the way then that plays out is in the next couple panels, as he's running, he probably like there's because he's leaping between buildings too. So he stops and touches like railings or the edge of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he stops and touches something, there's a little like runic glowy symbol thing. And then a fairy pops up out of it.
Nice.
And so every time he's touching something, it's spawning another fairy, which is then following him. And at some point they're going to crawl over the side of a building and sort of build a, like, just like they have kind of like weird fairy, like they have four legs.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've explained what the fairies look like.
They've got like four legs. They're kind of like a little spider centauri.
They look like the best thing someone pointed out is they look like they look like the tooth fairies from the second Hellboy movie, but they're made out of crystal.
Yeah.
So they are like the top half of a fairy, which you think a fairy looks like, but their bottom half is four legs. So like a fairy centaur. But they're small and they're made of crystal. And so they kind of like cling onto the side of the building, breaking into the stone a little bit and form handholds and footholds.
Perfect.
Okay. So I'm now running towards the fairies. I have these orbs. These are modified. I've been working on things, by the way. I should mention.
Okay.
I've been working on things.
Yeah.
Since our last endeavor. So these are new orbs that explode, and I've modified these quickly so that they can dispense water.
Nice. Yeah.
So these are modified Newton's thirds.
Okay.
Right. So as I'm going across on these fairies and going up the building, every time I throw one, I, of course, have to yell, Newton's third, and throw it, you know, like a very, like, almost anime style
yeah.
kind of thing.
And so you're throwing these into the building to try to stop the fire?
Right.
Okay, go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
I have a 2.
Oh, a 2. Okay. So you are running and you're throwing your orbs into the building. And, like, we see the first couple just kind of, like, fall a little short and, like, splash water out. And then you start to get, like, to a point that you're getting them in there. But there's just a lot of fire. And that thing catches, like, and those explosions of water catch the attention of Dr. DeVillis. And so he turns and sees you. And you just see his eyes narrow, and we get a close-up panel of his devilish, misformed face. And he goes,
"How very rude of you."
And he hurls himself off the building straight towards you. What do you do?
Well, I don't think that's very rude. You appear to be some, you know, used to the aquatic stuff.
Can I jump off the building that I'm on and intercept him midair?
Yes, absolutely. Roll to defend.
All right.
That's good, because otherwise he was right about to take a powerful blow.
Yeah, No. And this is, defend is...
Plus savior.
Plus, oh god. Why am I doing this? 8, 9.
9, excellent. On a 9, you keep them safe and choose 1. But it's going to cost you, you're going to expose yourself to danger, or escalate the situation.
I'm going to... I already have influence over you. I'll add a team to the pool.
Okay,
and
cool.
I'm going to add a team to the pool, and I guess I'm going to expose myself to danger, because I did kind of just fling myself off a building
yeah.
towards the bad guy.
Yeah.
Is he normal human-sized?
He's probably about 10, 11 feet tall.
Normal human villain-sized.
Yeah, like...
About 11 feet tall.
Hulkish, maybe?
Yeah, okay. Cool.
So yeah, so he slams into you, and you get a moment, Sokotoa, of just seeing, like, oh, this is where I die. And then Puck intercepts him, and the two of you, Puck and Dr. DeVillis, go flying into into this wall of an apartment building.
Yeah.
And shatter through, and you're in someone's living room. There's, like, a 10-year-old kid there playing video games, and he looks over and goes, "Whoa." And then we go to the outside shot with Frequency and Sokotoa. And in the sky, there's two kind of streaks coming towards you. And you quickly identify one of them because it is Centurion.
Centurion is a hero. They are a hero that everybody would know about. Centurion is sort of the, like, when you think of the city of Protean, like of Protean City, like the city hall and the heroes they work with, that's Centurion. Centurion is like the leader of a team that I think we're calling the Old Guard.
I think so for now.
And they are like the heroes. Like, so there are a lot of heroes that work with Falcon, but because Protean City doesn't super play well, like the government doesn't play well with Falcon, they have their own sort of like poster team. There's probably posters of Centurion on City Hall
yeah.
or like the big banners. And Centurion, imagine like a Roman Centurion. And they have a big like tower shield and a spear, and they are wearing sort of like Roman Centurion armor, but it's a little bit teched up. And again, like they have probably like armored boots that have some thrusters or something in them.
Yeah, it's kind of got that retro futurism sort of look in terms of like the colors and in terms of the construction. But very much Roman inspired.
Yeah, and I think the only thing I said was they have the like Roman Centurion helmet with the like broom on it. There's also a visor, like a dark visor, so you can only kind of see the bottom half of their face. Think like Judge Dredd style,
right?
And like Centurion does interviews in full Centurion yeah. gear,
and nobody no one sees knows them who they are except with the helmet on.
Yeah, I'm gonna use they just as the like the gender neutral pronoun because. Because nobody's really sure. Like, yeah. Centurion is very much...
Yeah, there's enough armor Centurion. Going on there that it could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be something... it could be anything, really. Like, there's not a lot of... You can see, like, a chin, and it's a, like, and there, and what you can see is muscly, but it, who knows what else is going on. There's enough armor there that it's hard to get a lot of distinguishing...
Anyone can have a muscly chin if they work yeah. hard enough yeah. and believe in themselves.
True, true.
So, Centurion flying through the air next to a much smaller, much clearly younger hero that's also in a very put-together tech sort of armor. So it's definitely form-fitting, sleek armor, and it has a big stylized eagle on the front of it. It's mostly gray armor, or it's mostly silver armor. But it has the red, white, and blue in definite prominence in a similar sort of way to how Striped Eagle wears those same colors. And that eagle is very clear. It is definitely the Striped Eagle logo. Ooh. But this is clearly not Striped Eagle because she's not an old woman. clearly not the same person and quite a bit shorter and just smaller than Striped Eagle, and she's got a full helmet on that has a bit of a like a beaked front. And I'm saying she because this is the same character from the interstitial scene that okay. we had previously.
Okay, cool.
Which you guys don't know because you didn't yeah. see the interstitial scene, but the readers would be able to put it together very easily.
Yeah. Okay.
And so they're just flying onto the scene, and you can see them coming ahead, and Centurion is just calling out,
"This is under city control. Step aside, according to Ordinance 5432.
Oh, yeah, this is under control. Why not? 11-foot-tall giant monster blows through building, plays on fire.
A burst of flame comes shooting out of the room that Puck and Dr. Villis are inside of.
So he's creating fire?
Yeah, he shoots flame out of his mouth. He just blows enormous amounts of fire.
He does blow.
He does blow.
Enormous yeah. amounts of fire.
He does.
How is that first building doing?
It is definitely, like, you can see that there is fire inside of it.
Are there people still trapped in there?
There are people still trapped in there, definitely.
That's what Frequency is worried about.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of the team is trying to take care of this.
Yeah, pretty much. That's helpful. But wearing dress pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frequency is still focused on trying to get people to safety that are in there.
Awesome. So what's he doing?
Same thing before. So trying to access like security cameras.
Okay.
And the
sprinkler system.
Okay. I can access. I figured the sprinkler system would go off automatically.
It's not.
Frequency is trying to, tap into those security cameras, trying to see how the inside of the building is doing.
Yeah.
So
go ahead and roll to assess the situation.
Okay. I was going to say that's either a powers or an assess.
Yeah. I think you definitely get in. But in terms of getting the information you want, I think it's a rule. So on a 10 plus, you ask 2, and you're going to take a plus 1 when acting on the answers as well.
So I would say, what here is in the greatest danger?
Okay. And you don't need to ask both right away. I can tell you what's in the greatest danger first.
Yeah.
There's a school that is in this building. Protean City, as many metropolitan cities, has like a lot of little private schools. And so there is a primary school, like young kids, that's up pretty high in the building. And like you are able to see that that the teachers are trying to get everything figured out and put together, but these flames are going to be getting there pretty quickly.
I'm also going to ask, what here can I use to save the children of this school?
There is on the floor above them, there's a company that is a travel agency, and they've got some like big kayaks and sails and stuff like that. And so you could do some probably very dangerous getting kids out using sails and parachutes and things like that. There's like all sorts of extreme sporting equipment in the room above it.
Okay.
Does that help? Does that seem fun or does that not seem fun?
That seems like it can be fun. Okay. I'm trying to make sure that I'm personally creative enough to come up with things that we can do for all of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that you are.
So I definitely want to try and access the, I don't want to go in there. So okay. I'm trying to do everything
remotely.
I'm trying to do everything remotely.
Yeah.
Can I try and access that? Like I want to say loudspeaker, but that's not the word I'm trying to look for.
PA system?
Intercom.
Yeah. Like the intercom system.
Yeah. And try absolutely.
And relay instructions to them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Do I need to roll for that, or I can just do that, right?
Yeah, you can just do that, definitely. Okay.
So Frequency is tapping into there and using, you know, the images from the security cameras. He's trying to guide them down the hallways. You know, like turn right here, turn left here. There's a staircase. I'm trying to get them up one floor.
Yeah, and so like you can hear the panic, but there are like, you know, the teachers are professional and here to take care of things. And they live in Protean City, you know, so they know what's up. And so they've managed to, like, you know, get everybody up, and you get everyone up to that room. And so you can see them kind of like they're in there and sort of looking around, and one of the teachers pipes up and says, now what? And then we're gonna go back to Sokotoa. Because you're probably focused and kind of like, you know, attention mode,
yes,
right?
I'm not a part of that fight at all.
So Sokotoa, in front of you, Centurion lands. They land a little bit closer than would be comfortable and just stand up. Kalino is not super tall, right?
No, like 5'3", 5'4".
Yeah, Centurion is, let's say, kicking it at 6'2", 6'3".
Okay.
There's definitely bigger heroes, but they're not that short. So they put down their tower shield and say, identify yourself.
I'm Sokotoa. You don't recognize the outfit?
Sokotoa, gather the people in this area and move them out. Now.
So,
And so he's now shifting your labels.
But.
Oh, okay.
But. I have a beacon move.
Okay.
That was just activated. When I bring up my superhero name to someone important, I assume that this person's important.
This person is important, definitely.
Roll plus savior.
Okay.
So
go ahead and roll.
That. You activated his trap card.
I activated his trap card.
So hold on. So my savior is currently +3. So that's a 7.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So
all right.
Finally, I've partially succeeded. Well done.
For the listeners, that was a 4.
Yeah. So what's that move
do? Listeners who can't do the math.
Yeah. So on a hit, you tell me about an exploit that Sokotoa has had and a label that connects to that aspect. So this would be something ideally a positive thing for Centurion to know about you. So maybe our previous adventure that you were in.
Exactly, yeah.
On a 7-9, I additionally tell you about another exploit that they're aware of and the label that connects to that.
Okay, so he has seen the news when I was trying to guide the train from our initial adventure.
Yeah.
Away from essentially people. So the task he's asking me to do now, he's seen me do something like that before.
Right.
So,
and so that's probably that. My guess is that savior right there.
Yes.
He additionally has seen when you fought Kraken Jr. by rushing in and destroying the Brightside boardwalk. So, and that is definitely a danger right there. So you don't shift anything right now, but that's going to affect how I respond to you.
Okay.
So Centurion says, Sokotoa, I remember you. Listen, get down there. Get everyone out of the way. Get them out of this area. Just don't do anything stupid.
Sounds good.
They are shifting your labels now. They are raising your savior and lowering your danger.
My savior can't increase anymore? What does that mean?
So if you don't reject that, you have to mark a condition.
Well, raising savior and lowering
danger.
Yeah, I feel like I would accept that.
Okay.
Right, but I have to take a condition for that.
Yeah. So, my guess is maybe insecure.
I already have insecure. I don't know if that was cleared last time.
Okay.
Or if it's clear. Like
no, it sticks around. Yeah. Is there another one that you could see marking? Maybe guilty because there's this paragon of the city that thinks that you're going to go do something stupid.
Yeah, that would work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm mark guilty. I don't shift the label.
Then you don't shift the label, right.
I'm now looking for a way to get down from this building. I don't know if the fairies are still around or if
I think the fairies are still around.
Okay, so I'm going to use them to get closer to street level.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to figure out what Ben is doing.
Okay.
So that we can work in tandem to get these people out.
But let's go ahead and hop over to Puck.
Okay.
So Puck, we get a panel that is somebody vacuuming in another room with big headphones on, so they haven't heard any of the noise, because you gotta have that in a comic. And then we get Dr. DeVillis hurling through the wall, followed by Puck in like a combat pose. Like the two of you have been kind of sparring at least a little bit right now, which we're not going to do any rolls for. Yeah. It's just comic stuff.
Yeah. We were tumbling.
Yeah. You were tumbling. Yeah. So DeVillis stands up and is like up near the ceiling and just puts a hand up on the ceiling above him and goes,
"Step aside, little one."
I guess Puck kind of just like, look, he's standing opposite him and he kind of just tilts his head to one side and he says, "You don't know me at all. I will not step aside."
Nice. He lets out a dark chuckle that includes just some rolling flame coming out of his mouth. And he goes,
"On the contrary, little one, I know someone who's looking for you."
So I guess Puck just kind of, again, like tilts his head the other way. "I'm right here."
And DeVillis just charges forward right at you.
We're in just some room.
Yeah, you're in an apartment building.
Do I have a sense of whether or not we are, if there's like an exterior wall somewhere?
Yeah, there's definitely an exterior wall. Okay. There's like a window. So it's got Puck, like a little balcony.
Puck jumps backwards through the window.
Okay.
And just flies outside.
Okay, great.
Just throws himself backwards.
Go ahead and unleash your powers.
Okay.
Because you're getting away from a threat.
4 and freak is 6.
Okay. So you leap out the window, and moments before you get there, the window suddenly just bursts open, and there's just black and flame all around you. It's as though he's actually created a portal, and you tumble in through the portal and are in just a hellscape. And then we move back to Frequency. What are you doing?
So Frequency has gotten the teachers and the students into that room upstairs. Frequency has these little drones.
Okay.
Frequency reaches into his backpack, pulls out like 4 of these little mini drones, just like tosses them in the air, and they instantly find their balance. And they fly up and all the teachers and students are like climbing into a sail.
Yeah.
And the drones are going to like pick up the corners and just lift them out and try and just fly them down to ground level.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers and don't mess this up.
This is
freak.
That's a 7.
Okay. Perfect. So you're able to fly them out and kind of just bring them down onto the bay. And so they're in a boat on the bay, which is not an ideal situation for a group of primary kids, but it's definitely better than being in the fire. So you've successfully saved those people.
Hooray.
And the building is like, you know, it's definitely emptying out. It's go time. So now we're going to go back to Puck. Dr. DeVillis is standing.
Oh, he came with me.
He's standing outside. Okay. He's like standing on the other side of the portal, like blocking you from coming out. And just like this cruel grin is coming to his face. And he goes,
"Perhaps I should just keep you here."
So Puck probably, because he threw himself backwards, expecting to go through a window.
Yeah.
But he fell through a portal. So he kind of like tumbled a little bit and probably did like a sort of really poor 3-point landing.
Yeah.
And he just stands back up and brushes himself off. And he looks back and he says, "Not many people can catch me off guard. Can I shake your hand, sir?" And he starts walking with his hand extended towards Dr. DeVillis.
And Dr. DeVillis kind of like pauses for a moment and lets out a snort and flame goes down. And he starts backing up. Roll to provoke somebody.
Okay.
Because what are you trying to get him to do?
I'm trying to get him to shake my hand.
Okay, go ahead and roll.
Because I want to mess with his memories.
I see.
Which is contact-based, sort of.
Yeah.
That's just 10 plus. Oh, plus superior. So that's a 2.
Okay. So you're walking forward, and he goes,
"I'm afraid not."
And the portal closes. And so now Dr. DeVillis is just looking out over the bay, and you are trapped in hell.
Oh, God.
So, Katoa, what are you up to?
How much of this can I see what's going on with Puck?
You're down on the street. You saw that Puck... You saw, like, you've been seeing flame come out of different building, out of different windows from where they're fighting. And now you saw a rend in space-time. And now you see Davilus just standing at like, the side of a window, like, looking out a window. And Puck is nowhere to be seen. So Puck is possibly within the rend. Puck is possibly dead in the apartment. But he's definitely not causing trouble for Dr. Davilus right now.
How much higher is Dr. Davilus than where I am?
Let's say
I'm
second
probably
story.
Street level now.
Yeah, okay. Let's say second story.
Second story, I can definitely throw and hit him with something.
Yeah.
So I have an orb.
Okay.
That again explodes, but this is more like it explodes into like a paste, and
okay.
It's designed to keep him where he is. He's going okay. to be like stuck in yeah. that area. So of course I have a name for this one as well. This is Newton's first, right? So,
of course,
of course it would be.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I have to roll for this.
This would be rolling to unleash your powers if you're trying to just hold him in one place.
Yeah, which is exactly what I'm.
Okay.
I'm doing.
So go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
And what do I have
That's
to do?
Freak.
Oh boy. I see.
Welcome to my world. Trying to do stuff you're not good at. Oh.
That would be a 2.
Okay. So you hurl the sticky Newtons first, and Centurion and the person in the striped eagle style armor float down in front of the window to begin combat. And so you throw it and it smacks into the back of the girl in the armor, and it just like splatters the stickiness all over her, and she buckles forward and her head hits against the balcony, and now she's falling. What do you do? I'm going to just start calling her Striped Eagle because she's in Striped Eagle armor. Or like Striped Eagle Mark II or something like that.
So is like she someone who we would have seen around?
No, this is okay. brand new.
So brand new.
Yeah, but she's clearly wearing Striped Eagle
right. okay.
armor.
I do have an orb that could help here, but I don't think I'm going to have enough time.
Okay.
So I can't be that far. So I'm just going to try to like run over there and like break her fall somehow.
All right. Go ahead and roll to defend.
What is that plus? Just so I...
Savior.
Yeah.
All right.
A 14.
Perfect. Okay. So you can add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
Oh, man. I really want to clear conditions, but I want to have influence over this person.
Okay. All right. So you're taking influence?
Yeah.
All right. So you like hurl yourself forward and just leap, and you manage to kind of catch her in the air. But she's wearing heavy armor. So my guess is that you sort of like, once you've caught her, you sort of stumble forward and end up mostly on the ground. But she didn't hit the ground. She was caught. And you can... Like, her visor flicks up, and you can see that she looks like she's probably about your age. She's definitely a high schooler. She has Asian features, and you can see that half of her head is completely shaved. And she goes, oh, God, what the hell hit me?
Must have been one of those, gooey seagulls.
And so now we get back to Century. Actually, let's go to Frequency. So Frequency, what are you doing now that you've handled the civilian problem?
When Centurion came in.
Yeah.
Centurion was, he was saying something about, citizens stand yeah. down or whatever. Is that directed to us also?
He had some concern, and like you especially look like a citizen.
I said,
because you're not in. You're not in a costume.
Puck is missing.
Yeah, Puck is missing. Puck is missing. Presumably hurt.
Sokotoa is catching the girl.
Yeah.
So, I'm thinking Frequency is going to be trying to convince Centurion that we can help.
Okay. Yeah. Centurion is floating, like kind of rappelling up, and has their big shield in front of them, and Dr. DeVillis is like facing off. And so I'm thinking DeVillis is just shooting flame out and Centurion is just holding the tower shield up and just like taking the brunt of it and just not letting anything go through.
They are actively fighting.
They're actively fighting now.
Okay. Are they like right, like he's just right there breathing fire down like onto his shield.
Right onto his shield.
Holding it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Centurion comics frequently have Centurion just holding the shield up and just waiting.
Well, Centurion never really knows how to use that. They know how to use their gear, but in Ben's mind, there's always cooler ways that you can use it. Can I try and hack that armor, tech, whatever, to have some type of rocket boost, either from the shield or from like the suit itself?
Absolutely.
So instead of using the shield as a purely defensive thing, it will bash Dr. DeVillis like in the face, or are they not that close?
No, they're that close.
Okay.
Roll, this is weird. Roll to directly engage a threat.
Okay. let me just check.
Because I think what you're doing is directly engaging a threat using Centurion as a weapon.
Correct. And I know this isn't going to end up well
for me.
Which
might mean that failure could get Centurion hurt.
I rolled a 10.
A 10, all right, excellent. So you choose 2. On a hit, trade blows. On a 10 plus, pick 2.
So by resist or avoid their blows.
Yeah.
If I pick that, am I letting Centurion resist,
resist or avoid the blows? Yeah.
Okay. Definitely that.
Okay.
I don't want to take something from them.
Okay.
Or do I?
Take something from them can also be things like a position or control of something or Puck.
Oh.
You're in Dr. DeVillis's possession right now.
Okay.
True. I like that idea, but no offense. I think that's too soon.
No. Also, Puck's fine. Puck's where he wants to be.
Okay. In hell.
It's where he deserves to be.
Does our communication still work interdimensionally?
We're going to need to find out.
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
You can just say no, but as far as I'm concerned, we have no idea.
Yeah.
We don't even know where he is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Can I do impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition?
Absolutely.
And ask that to also impress, surprise, or frighten Centurion?
Centurion's surprised.
Okay.
Because I think Centurion's, just all of Centurion's boosters just fired at once. And they just like slammed into.
They're going to be impressed either way?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's going to be Centurion can avoid any.
Okay.
And he blows back.
Okay.
And create an opportunity for your allies.
Okay. So Centurion just is blasted forward. Like, we get a scene of Frequency looking and just doing,
the waves
go out. And we see the waves get to Centurion's armor. And there's just, like, click, 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 click. And we get a zoom in of Centurion's face, which is very difficult to read because it's behind the visor almost entirely. Just, like, a little tightening of the jaw. And then Centurion just hurls forward into the building and just flattens Dr. DeVillis against a wall. And then there is just flame that hurls out. And Centurion is flung outward, still holding their shield, still with the lance, and still more or less in control, like, you know, getting control back of the... Unless you're holding on to their rockets.
No.
Okay. Then they're holding themselves up, and... Dr. DeVillis begins to crawl out of the building, and now they are easily 25 feet tall. They've continued to morph and change, and they're just, like, coming out of this with flame wreathing them and just pulling down sides of the thing. You can see that they were definitely hit hard. They took that hit, and it's only made them more furious.
Oh, come on. They're getting bigger.
Puck.
Yeah,
you're in hell.
I know. So what do I see around me, just in my immediate vicinity?
So you are definitely on Black Rock, and there's, like, you know, big jutting columns of lava and red and black. And in the distance, you can see an enormous palace created from obsidian.
Of course.
And there are, like, just flying shapes coming from the palace towards you.
Okay.
They're definitely off in the distance. You've got time.
So what are you doing? I want to have a dark vision.
Okay.
Which is one of my new doom signs.
Okay. What does that do?
So here's what it says. Mark your doom track to have a vision about the situation at hand. After the vision, ask the GM a question They will answer it honestly.
What does it look like when you get this doom sign?
So Puck, like, in after the adventure with the surprise train,
yeah.
He definitely, like, felt that he had exerted himself a whole lot.
Yeah.
And there was a, like we had talked about, there was a moment in at the end of the last adventure where he had portaled one too many times, and he heard the voice of the sort of like ancient trickster god that he stole the power from.
Yeah.
And so in one way he could tell that the trickster was focusing in on where he was.
Yeah.
But that sort of connection was mutual.
Yeah.
And so he could sort of, in a way that he hadn't previously been able to, sense the sort of the fabric of reality.
Yeah.
Using specifically those powers. And so a thing that he's been trying to, like, mess around with a little bit and experimenting with is sort of focusing on that.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, in the way that he focuses to sort of summon the fairies.
Yeah.
But instead of focusing to summon something, it's focusing more to, like, intertwine his brain. And in sort of in the way that he also messes with memories, to, like, pull a raw memory out of the universe and insert it into his brain. And so, like, when he looks around and sees that he's in hell, he sort of just the first thing he does is just sit down.
Okay.
He's like, he needs to calm down. He takes some deep breaths. He probably puts his head and mask in his hands, and he just sort of sits there cross-legged, focusing.
Yeah.
And trying to connect with the universe to pull and make this vision happen.
Cool. Okay, so he sits down and sees an image of it's a little strange to come from hell into a vision, into a dark vision. But he sees himself standing in the void that is present with the dark trickster, with the great old trickster. And he sees an image of Davilus. And he feels that his arms are bound, and then he is put into the great old trickster's mouth, and the trickster swallows him. Then down in the stomach of the trickster, Puck takes a knife and cuts into the side of the trickster and pulls himself out into bright, shining white light.
And he saw Davilus there?
He saw Davilus there feeding him into the trickster and him cutting him his way out of the stomach.
Okay. And so the question that I'm going to ask you is, and maybe this is not how this is supposed to work, but it says, ask the GM a question and they will answer it honestly.
Yeah.
Can I ask, who does Davilus know? Or, like, what's his connection to the trickster, like the god? Does he know the god directly? Does he know someone who knows the god?
No, he knows someone who has been given powers by the god.
Okay.
Someone who has that's like an avatar of the god.
Okay.
On this planet.
And I don't know who it is. I think
having a dark vision.
Yeah.
You know what? I think you're having a dark vision. And so I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of that as well.
Okay.
You hear Jack Chance's voice.
Okay.
Going out like, if this devil is such a big deal, how come he's going out there with someone else's face on? Why is he going out there with someone else's face on? And you see the devil and he's wearing your face.
Okay.
And just like tears start to go down its face and then the vision ends.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
I want to have a scene.
Okay.
With Chance.
Okay.
I want a portal to him.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right, so first off, mark your doom.
Yeah.
And then you burst out of hell and are in...
The radio studio.
The radio studio. And he's like actively shouting into the mic. And he pauses and just goes, I'm going to have to take the next part of this question off the air. So... We're gonna get you some tunes from the 80s, 90s, and today. And he hits the button. And then he just kind of leans in towards you. He is a man in his 40s. He looks well put together. Caucasian man. He's got little bits of silver coming in on the sides of his head, but it just looks so dignified on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a button-down shirt and some khakis. And the button-down shirt is just, like, rumpled and thrown together. And there's a big check that's, like, framed on the wall that says $50,000 and memo Centurion's identity. And there's, like, you know, there's a bunch of checks like that. And some of them, and, like, there's pictures of him with all sorts of people holding, like, you know, a big check. This is his thing that he does. And he goes, "Ah, Puck. I was hoping you might stop by sometime. I think we have a mutual friend."
Yeah, or two.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Puck is played by me, James Malloy, and I can be found on Twitter at @endthemeltdowns. The introduction was voiced by Peter DeGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us at our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com or follow us on Twitter at Protean City. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.